Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here. We're going exploring in low Earth orbit, and then we're going off to outer space. Right now, China's making a move, always derivative. Bob, a good evening to you. China's started an operation not unlike Starlink. Is that correct? Good evening to you.
That is correct. China has several different proposed mega constellations of communications, low orbit, Starlink copycat projects in line. And this past weekend, they made the first launch on a planned mega constellation called Guowang. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. And that's going to have 13,000 satellites once launched, which would make it twice as big as what Starlink is right now, but comparable to Starlink. So they launched their first set. And what makes this launch interesting is several things about China. First, as always, the launch was on a coastal site, so they weren't going to dump any stages on their own people's heads. But they were using the Long March 5B rocket. Now, your listeners might remember in the past when that Long March 5B launched, the core stage, it has a core stage and two strap-on boosters, the core stage would reach orbit, release the satellite, and then it'd be in an unstable orbit. It couldn't restart its engines, and so this core stage, which was big, would come down uncontrolled and could conceivably hit habitable areas. In fact, in one of those cases, they did this about six times, one of those cases, if it had come down 15 minutes earlier, it would have come down over the New Jersey, New York metropolitan area. Might have wiped out some drones at the time, but anyway, it would have done that. So this has always been a problem, but it seems that China has fixed the Long March 5B problem finally by developing an upper stage that can fire the engines and put the payload in orbit so that the core stage does not have to burn so long and can actually detach and fall harmlessly into the ocean. So that's one good thing that China did. But the other thing China did is it did not reveal the number of satellites in this first group of satellites launched by the 5B. And that's a big rocket, so we could put a lot of satellites up. But they did not tell us the number of satellites or any details about what orbits they were in. And that's probably a violation of the Outer Space Treaty, because signatories, and China is one, is supposed to inform others of its launches and, at minimum, the number of objects that it's placed in orbit. And considering this constellation is going to have 13,000 satellites, there's some coordination required to prevent interference with other constellations. China, they don't care. We're going to do whatever we want, and that's what they've done. And so this is started now, and we're just going to have to wait and see how that plays out. Obviously, the Space Force surveillance equipment that tracks objects in space will eventually be able to tell us how many objects it was, but we shouldn't have to go that way. They should be telling us, and that's just China revealing itself.
And this is Starlink, and they're going to control it. So is it?
They say it's a communications internet constellation, so we assume it's going to be doing some of the same things as Starlink, but they would control it, not a private company. Right now, as far as I know, Starlink is forbidden in China, and you know they want to control everything. They don't want their people to have freedom of information. They want to be able to control that information up front.
Shanghai, if you're listening to us, we're broadcasting on Starlink. You see how it works? It's very easy. Okay. Nice. All right, the FAA. Last time we had a story in which the FAA, the administrator resigned, and the FAA promised it would do better, but it was a puzzle how. Are they doing better, Bob?
This is, I think, part of the recognition at the FAA that they better do better, or Trump is going to come in there with a scythe and just wipe them all out. So the FAA announced last week that it's going to eliminate a stupid licensing requirement that they put in and post when they streamlined their licensing requirements. When they streamlined the licensing requirements, the FAA suddenly required that launch companies, rocket companies, redo a safe safety analysis, flight safety analysis that had already been done by the spaceports they were launching from. So Kennedy, Cape Canaveral, Vandenberg, the people who run those facilities would do flight safety analysis for each rocket, and they'd get it done, and it would be done. But the FAA, beginning in 21, demanded that the rocket companies redo it. And there were a lot of complaints about this. This is ridiculous. Why do we have to do this twice? And so the FAA suddenly announced last week that they're going to accept the flight safety analysis of the launch facilities. They're not going to require companies to do it all over again. And that's a good thing, but it strikes me, once again, that they put in this new requirements in 21 under the Biden administration to streamline things, and it did exactly the opposite. We'll see if they continue to do better, but they are definitely recognizing that the pressure from the new administration is having an impact already, and this is an example of it.
SpaceX, Starbase. I thought Starbase was a thing for hobbyists because in correspondence with people, they're always talking about Starbase. I thought, well, it's just like it's like Star Trek, you know, and yet it's a real thing. What do they want to do, Bob?
At Boca Chica, the SpaceX facility, Elon Musk named it Starbase several years ago. And he wants to name the location Starbase. And it's, to my mind, that's nice, but it's Boca Chica. And it'll always be Boca Chica, as far as I'm concerned, because that's the local name. But nonetheless, SpaceX has now put in a request to a local judge requesting that a special election be held in Cameron County to decide whether or not that SpaceX's facilities could be incorporated as a city. And SpaceX points out that, you know, this was, there's very few people living there before, but now there's thousands who work and live at the SpaceX facility. And so they say, why not incorporate as a city? This would allow the general legal framework that most large communities have need to operate properly. So they put in a request. We don't know if it will be approved, but at least we, you know, SpaceX is taking the step to make this an official place. They don't want to name it Boca Chica. They want to make it Starbase, name it Starbase. And so we'll see how that plays out as well.
Yep, and it's not long, Bob. They're going to have a tourist problem. They got to deal with it. So they're going to need roads and infrastructure.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's, in fact, they make this a point. Let me quote. SpaceX currently performs several civil functions around Starbase Boca Chica due to its remote location, including management of roads, utilities, and provision for schooling and medical care for the residents. These are people, all SpaceX employees. And they just feel it would be better to move those management functions into a more appropriate, quote, more appropriate public body. And that's in their letter to the judge. And so that's what they're arguing. And there's some justification for this. We'll see how it plays out.
A shrewd developer would have a city of residents on the other side of the Mexican border to watch the SpaceX launches.
Once again, you have to ask the Mexican government their priorities are. They are missing out.
But the Mexican government has a methodology that we lack in the United States. It's called money under the table. It works. So we go to Stoke Space. Sounds cool. What do they want to do?
All right. This is a rocket startup. It's been around for several years. It's raised a good amount of money. It's developing a rocket. It's intended to be a two-stage rocket, completely reusable. The first stage would come back vertically like SpaceX does. The second stage, though, they're using a very novel design for their nozzle rocket, the engine of the second stage. It's a ring, instead of one single nozzle, it's a ring of nozzles around the outside perimeter. This allows not only more precise control, but it allows them to put a heat shield in to protect the engine as it comes back to the ground. And so that's their thinking, and they've been developing it. They've now done a engine test of that of the first stage. They've done engine tests of the upper stage, which is more radical, but they've now done tests of the first stage as well. And so they're aiming for a launch next year. We can hope they do it. They are facing bureaucratic stuff from the federal government, an environmental red tape review that the Space Force has imposed on them for Cape Canaveral. Why? It makes no sense to me, since Cape Canaveral has been a launch facility for 75 some odd years. There is no reason to have to analyze environment again, but that's what they made them do. This company, I think, if they do what they say they're going to do, they're going to be a major player, John.
Bob, why doesn't Space Force take over supervising launches? Space Force is a customer of commercial space and would be sympathetic to all those startup problems. Why not?
Well, Space Force, you know, Space Force runs a certain launch ranges. It runs Vandenberg and it runs Cape Canaveral. Their job is to act as the facilitator for launches. Their job is not to run things. So they shouldn't be getting in the way of new rocket companies. They should be doing whatever they can to help private enterprise succeed. That's how I look at it. And they should not be running anything. Their goal is to try to make it easy for private companies to launch within safety range. You know, they control the range. They make sure that things don't crash on people's heads or crash on boats or hit other planes. But their job should be to facilitating the private sector to succeed.
We have a hole in our government because the FAA is not answering.
Once again, the FAA causes problems in its areas of regulation, but now the Space Force recently, which used to be the Air Force, the military, is now causing some regulatory problems in its areas of responsibility. And I think I assign this entirely to the mental attitude of the Biden administration, which was hostile to private space, very much in favor of regulation. Yeah. Yeah. That is going to change, I think, in the next few months, very much.
Bob, we have another Japanese story. Are they building a booster?
No. This is the company iSpace. This is a company that that's attempted once to land a unmanned probe on the moon. It's going to try again in January, just a few weeks from now, second time to put a lander on the moon. It's a private company. It's a Japanese company. Well, their story is that they've obtained a almost $6 million loan from the Japanese government. The Japanese government has something called the Japan Finance Corporation, which acts as a bank, essentially, issuing loans to encourage Japanese businesses. And so this is an example of the government trying to help a private company. The loan is a 10-year, they have 10 years to pay it back, and depending on how much profits they make, their interest rates will fluctuate. It just means the Japanese government is beginning to shift towards private capitalism, and that's a good thing, John.
American startup, multi-launch contract, difficulties with the FAA, or smooth sailing?
No, this is one of those situations. It's a new startup called Via Space, and they have a rocket they call Dauntless, and they hope to launch by 26. They announced that they have been awarded a multi-launch contract to put up 250 small satellites for a satellite startup. It's called Space Telecommunications. This is a typical kind of contract that these startups will make with satellite companies, and it helps sell for both of them. The satellite company will always have an option to beg out if the rocket gets delayed. No money has to change hands, but it's good publicity. It says they're real, and that's a good thing. And so we'll see how Via develops over the next few years. They've been doing some Air Force work, but nothing like a real low-orbital rocket, and we'll have to see if they actually make it happen.
Now, this story is sad, Bob, because it's about Boeing again. And Boeing they've got a Jonah on board. I don't know how they got into this trouble, but they seemed whatever they touch turns to dross. It's odd.
It's a very sad story, but it's part of the sadness of Boeing over the last few years. Boeing, which conceived and built the 747, one of the greatest airplanes ever made, and has been used as Air Force One for the presidents now for decades. They signed a contract during the first Trump administration in 2018 to refit two 747s to act as Air Force One, a new fleet. And they got $3.9 billion to do that. And Trump has a lot of negotiations to go on because they wanted to gold plate it, and he wouldn't do that. But they still got a $3.9 billion contract. There are now reports that they will not be able to deliver these two airplanes until 2029. That means it'll take them 11 years to refit two flight-worthy 747s, and it'll take them almost to $4 billion. This is really, I say this is more than absurd. This is obscene. It just tells me a great deal about Boeing and tells me that this is a company that right now is really in the hole, and that they can't refit two 747s in less than a decade and need $4 billion to do that tells me that they can't do anything.
That feels like the SLS scale, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yep. It's exactly the same kind of game. They don't know how to do things on a fixed price like any normal business. They can't do it on schedule or on time. They just can't do it. And this is not rocket science here. This is just refitting two flight-worthy 747s. It's disgusting, John.
Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.